Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. I want to thank each and every one of you who have taken time out of your busy schedule and come to hear what the Spirit has to say. I'm asking each and every one of you to pray for me because I've been sick since last week. This is the second week, and I think it's going away. But I don't be feel like doing anything. And for me to come on tonight was a challenge. But God always make a way out of no way. And Minister Elyria Mack is going to be in the studio as well tonight. And we're going to bring you guys the word of God together. If I fall short, she pick it up. And we're going to do that on tonight. At this time, I'm going to, Elyria, your mic is open. And I'm going to turn it over to Elyria. She's going to do a song and she's going to pray. And then we'll get into the lesson.
Yes. Except the Lord build the house, they that build labors in vain. Except the Lord build the house, don't you know your labor's in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they that build labors in vain. We've got to build our house in Jesus' name. Some folks build their house on a foundation made by man. Then they find out that the house they have built was built up on sinking sand. But I want to build on a firm foundation that will last through the storm and the rain. That's why I'm building my house in Jesus' name. Sometimes while building on faith, love, joy, and doctrine sound, the devil comes around acting bad and tough, trying to blow your house down. So Satan can come with a huff and a puff. You see he's in for a terrible shock, because my house is built up on Christ, the solid rock. Except the Lord build the house, they that build labors in vain. See if Jesus ain't building our house, don't you know our labor's in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they that build labors in vain. That's why I'm building my house in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. God, we thank you, Lord, for strength this afternoon, oh God. God, we realize that these outer vessels are perishing, but we recognize that our inward man are renewed day by day. And your word declares that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you know how to deliver us out of them all. So, God, we thank you for deliverance right now through these light afflictions that we go through. God, we ask that you would touch every believer's body right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that are listening in by the airways, oh God, those that are listening in on the computers, oh God, we ask that you would touch hearts right now, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for moving on Sister Diane's behalf, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for inner strength, oh God. We thank you for your peace and your love that you bestowed upon us. We thank you, Lord, because we recognize that we are your purchased possessions, oh God. And your word said that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are lively stones, oh God. Your word says that we are of a royal priesthood. We are of a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We called out of darkness into your marvelous light, called us the chosen generation, oh God, just to show forth the praises of you who has called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. So, God, we thank you for touching Minister Diane's body this afternoon, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for touching every believer bodies this afternoon, oh God. We pray for the whole household of faith, Lord. We ask that you would move on our behalf because we stand on your promises, and your promises are yea, and they are amen. And, God, we know that your promises are not slight concerning us, oh God. God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for a greater anointing because we know that it is the anointing that destroys the yokes. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We give you honor. We give you the praise. We give you the glory, God. And we even lift up all of those that have been calling in, oh God. God, we lift up the brother that called in, Brother Daniel, Lord God, that you would touch, Lord, and keep encouraging him to go forward in your name, oh God. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise, honor, glory in Jesus' name. I call it all done. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Sister Elyria. And I have a caller on the line. They pressed the one button. So I want to see what they would like to do. So caller, your number is 408, area code 378. I opened your mic, and you could speak at this time.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Amen. You were getting me excited with that voice you have. That a cappella was going good. I'm telling you, I
was
sitting there just
Elyria Mackey.
Man, if I could
we give
I could
God
talk,
glory.
I could...
We give God glory. We give him glory for the voice. I give him glory.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have to realize that, you know, when like this beautiful lady that was singing, you know, she was illuminated with God's glory. That's the only reason why she could praise God the way she was doing it so beautifully. When you've been illuminated
Amen.
With God's glory, that tells folks that you've been born again. You're a child of God. That's what it tells people, because when you've been connected to the true vine, you got the joy, joy, joy. Where?
Yeah,
down in
yeah,
your
so
heart.
Bad.
Down
yes,
in your
Lord.
Heart to stay. And so the witness, what a witness the joy is to the people around us.
We bless God.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right, my brother, I thank you so much for those words and the encouragement that followed your words. And I thank God that you called in, and if you stay on the line, you can hear the program. We coming from the book of Numbers tonight. We in the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter, verses 20 to 35. And as I said earlier, I'm going to try to do as much as I can, but Elyria is right here. So if we look at our lesson, the title of the lesson is, If God Say It, You Can Believe It. If God said it, you can believe it. All right, that's the print. I didn't want to print when it was supposed to, but now it's trying to print. But the title of the lesson is, If God Said It, You Can Believe It. We're coming from the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter, the 20th through the 31st verse. And as always, we have background. So I'm going to do a little bit of background, and we're going to come and explore the word of God together. What I did was a background on the book of Numbers. I said a book of Numbers is the fourth book of the five books of the law in the Old Testament, which was written by Moses. The book of Numbers means in the desert. And the name of the book comes from two censers that was taken of Israel. One when they entered the wilderness, and the other one when they went to the promised land. One moment. Ilaria, I'm going to cut your mic off because we could hear.
Okay.
Or either whatever you're doing with the paper, it's just sensitive like that.
I'm going to mute it. Okay.
Okay, that's good. Okay. So when we're in the book of Numbers, there are certain things that you should know. You know, some people get in the book and go in the New Testament. They don't visit Numbers too much and don't have a clue what it's all about. But you see, in the book of Numbers, they say that God had the Israelites to be numbered. And that's a part of where their number came from. He numbered them when they went in the wilderness, and he numbered them when they got ready to go in the promised land. And some of you might say, why? Because God knew what they would do, and he also knew what he would do. You see, the law was given so Israel would only worship God, and so Israel would remain in confidence in him. You know, God wanted them to have confidence in him. The law was given to set the Israel apart from the Canaanites and the other pagan nations. You know, when God made the Israelites his holy nation, his chosen people, there were a lot of nations on earth. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all of these were nations. And God chose the Israelites to make them his promised people. And I know it was God's desire that the Israelites would love on him the way he loved on them. And it could have been a prime example for the other nations to want God as their savior, to want God as their king and their lord and their master. And, you know, that was part of the plan that God had set in motion. But remember, even though this is what God wanted, God knew what they would do and what they'd not do. You see, the Israelites were set apart from all the rest of the whole world. You know, Numbers began at Mount Sinai, where the Israelites had received their laws and covenants from God and had taken up residence, and God had taken up residence with them among them in the sanctuary. You see, before the laws was given, there was no law. And before the Israelites was Israelites, they were Hebrews. So you see, God decided to make them his chosen people. Now, there were no laws given. So what God decided to do, Before he would allow them to enter into the promised land, he wanted to give them some rules and regulations to live by, to take the confusion out of it. And that's when God decided to give them the law when they was going to the promised land. And And all he wanted them to do now was to possess the promised land. That's all they had to do. He got them there. He took them out of Egypt. He crossed the Red Sea. He brought them in the wilderness. He gave them mammon. He gave them water. He gave them everything they needed. And now he's ready for them to get the promised land that he had promised their forefather Abraham that he would give them. And if God said it, you can believe it. But you see what happened? The people started mumbling and grumbling. They even had the audacity to tell God, why you didn't leave us in Egypt so our children could have been buried there, you know? You know, why would we want our children buried in the desert? And they constantly would throw that on him. You brought us out here and our children and this and that. And they mumbled. They even told him about you got Moses and Aaron here. And, you know, ain't nothing special about them. People is something. For these acts, God destroyed approximately 15,000 of them through various means. They arrived at the border of Canaan and sent 12 spies into the land, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. 10 of the spies came back with a negative report. They said that the walls were too high, the people are too large, they are larger than normal, and the family of Goliath may have been a descendant from these people. They were very big people. Upon hearing the spies' reports concerning the condition in Canaan, the Israelites refused to take possession of it. They soon forgot that God had promised it to Abraham, and they even said that it did flow with milk and honey. You see, God condemned them to death in the wilderness for that. And you know how some people say sometimes your children suffer for your sins, and you know, they be wanting an example of how that could happen. Well, I know that if the Israelites would have been obedient, that the journey would have took a shorter time. But because of their disobedience, it made them wander for 40 years. So that new generation who they kept saying would die in the wilderness, they're the only ones that went over. You see, God told them, take a census of everyone that is war ready. So that was all of the males over 21. That the one of the things about it was that they had to be war ready to be able to go into war. And that's the numbers that God wanted, and they counted them. God said, none of y'all gonna go over there. You see, God ordered Moses in the wilderness in Sinai to number those able to bear arms of all the men from age 20 years old and upward. The total of the men was 603,550. That's why they say it's over half a million of people. I don't know if you ever thought about that, and since I'm right here, I'm just going to say a little word on it. Can you imagine Moses trying to lead those many people to where God wanted them to go to make sure that all of those people was fed and had water and their necessities was met and keep them in order and keep the law? Moses had a very, very serious job. with all of that being said, the tribe of Levi was exempt from the military service because, you know, they was the priests and therefore not included in the census. The people mumbled against God and are punished by fire. 12 spies are sent out to Canaan and come back with a report to Moses. Joshua and Caleb, two of the spies, reported that the land was abundant and it flows with milk and honey. God made a decree that the Israelites will be punished for their loss of faith by having to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And at this time, because I feel my throat getting funny, Sister Elyria, you know, unmute your phone. And if you can, you can start reading the scriptures where we starting with.
Okay.
Start
Numbers
20. And then
chapter 14.
You can start. Go ahead, baby.
No, go ahead. What's it?
Just have your way.
Okay. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Verse 22 says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them provoke me, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Verse 25 says, now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil generation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. Verse 29 says, your carcass shall fall in the wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said, shall be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcass, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredom until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Verse 34 says, after the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days for each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Verse 35 says, and the Lord have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and they shall die. Their murmuring and complaining kept them out of the promised land. We have to, in this day, the Bible said that we should give thanks always unto the Lord and do all things without murmuring and complaining. We serve a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, but we have to serve him and him alone. We have to worship him and him alone. And regardless of what God did, they complained about everything that he did. And I'm going to give some scriptures on the complaining, the murmuring. There are seven murmurings. One concerning the way, you'll find it in chapter 11, 1 through 3. Concerning the food, chapter 11, 4 through 6. Concerning the giants, chapter 13, 33, and to chapter 14, verse 2. Concerning their leader, chapter 16 and 3. Concerning the divine judgment, chapter 16, 41. Concerning the desert, chapter 20, 2 through 5. The second time, concerning manna, chapter 21, verse 5. So they had been murmuring and complaining regardless of what God did for them. They complained. And God delivered us. He delivered us out of the hand of the enemy. So why would we want to go back to the hand of the enemy? God delivered them out of Pharaoh's hand. And then they went to complaining. Moses, you should have left us in Egypt. You didn't have to take us out of Egypt. But I'm going to read some more in Numbers 20. Verse 2 says, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Now, what they're saying is, we'd rather die in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. But God steady provided for them. Verse 3 says, and wherefore have the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Now, this is the children of Israel saying all of this. That's why when he said about the children being a prey, he let them know that their children wasn't going to be no prey in verse 31. Your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them I'm going to bring into the promised land. So they were talking about their wives and their children bringing a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Verse 4 said, and they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. 5, Moses said, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothing. They began to cry out to God. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Verse 9 said, only rebel not against your Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So that Joshua and Caleb was encouraging them to tell them that God was with them. God was with them. They really didn't have no reason to complain, but they were complaining anyhow. So, but they let them know, look, if we don't rebel against God and we believe God for who he is and what he says, we can go into the land that's flowing with milk and honey. Verse 10 says, but all the congregation, they stoned them with stone. They wanted to stone them with stone. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown amongst them? He didn't show them signs. He didn't show them miracles. And they still not believing. Verse 12 said, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make them of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Verse 14 said, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art amongst this people, and the Lord are sent and are seen the face to face, and that they, the cloud standing over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Verse 17 says, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, 18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. 19 said, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast given this people from Egypt even until now. And I'm going to go back with 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to the word. God pardoned them for their sins. And they kept on complaining and murmuring and vexing. And then Moses and Aaron got to the place that they began to exalt themselves in the eyes of God. We can't take God's glory. We got to believe God for who he is and believe that he can do what he said he can do. The scripture said,
and he learned you.
If we, uh-huh.
Go ahead, baby. Finish.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just saying when you said that, when you read, I think it was like verse 18, you said that he pardoned the sins, but they would have generation to generation, first, second, and third generation. God didn't set up for the children, the generation to wander in the wilderness, but it was because of the sin. But if those guys would have been faithful unto God, their children wouldn't have had to wander for 40 years. The sins of the fathers could, you know, had the children to have to wander for 40 years. You see? And that's what happened.
That's why he told them in verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of that land. So he was telling them, don't rebel against God. God said we can take the land. We can go in.
Right.
And we're going to possess the land that's flowing with milk and honey, but the rest, oh, no, they got giants in that land. And we can get fearful, too, as the people of God. And begin to fear.
And then what it was, you know, people forget all that God has done for us. God is a God that will give you evidence of what he's working with. He don't want you to believe that he's a healer unless you've been healed or somebody in your family, you saw the miracle of his healing. God has placed evidence for us. You know, when he led the Israelites out of slavery by the Egyptians through the isolated desert, you know, by day he had a cloud where he led them, and a fire by night where he provided bread from heaven whenever they needed. Then he sent milk meat from the sky. Their feet never swollen, their shoes and their clothes never wore out. He protected them from all of their enemies. And now they're at the edge of the promised land. And hearing a bad report, fear set in. You see, Joshua and Caleb tried their best to encourage them. They said and did everything they can. You know, but there's a saying that's real popular, that you could bring a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They probably asked him, you know, I'm sure they used the word of God. They probably told him, come on, y'all, let's hold on to the confession of our faith. And if God said it, let's just do it because it's the right thing to do. And God don't make no mistakes. We have seen the evidence of God in our past. Don't you think he's in our future? It appeared that no matter how much God does for some people, it's never enough. Like you said, you know, early, it's just never enough. The people rejected his advice and even talked about killing him. Joshua, like you said earlier, that what they should have did, and this is what we should do in our life, we should take the advice, evaluate it carefully, compare it and line it up with the word of God, then look at all the evidence that God has provided for our lives. God always gives evidence of things he's willing and able to do. But you see, God was saying right now after them verses, enough is enough. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, but Caleb. And we have to remember that. God has feelings. You know, we always That's doing right. whatever we want, when we want, how we want, if we want. But soon as something happens, you want all your emergencies to become God urgency. And you want him to show up when you want him to show up, not realizing our time is not his time. And then you wanted him to deliver what you want just like you stated, even though he may not do it like that. And he may not come when you want it, but he's always on time. But that's how people treat God. Like God needs them. Like God ain't going to be God without them. God said, I already, in this verse we read, I think it was in round 20, he said, everybody going to know my glory. He said, because I parted the Red Sea and all of that. That's what he was telling them. I don't need you guys. He said, you know, everybody's going to know my glory. It's in verse 20. The Lord said, I have parted according to thy word. But 21 said, but as I live, all the the earth shall be filled with my glory, filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, have you ever saw the glory of God? Have you ever saw the miracles of God? Then you should be willing to give glory unto God. He said, all who have seen my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land. You know, we have to realize sometimes we do what God wants us to do, but we do it when we get ready. But you see, God has a time and a place, and time is important. And sometimes we show up, but we show up late. And that's what God is trying to say. God allowed this book of Numbers to be written to give us some information of how he operates. You see, in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. In the New Testament, he lives inside of his people.
Yes, he does.
And you see, God wanted them to know, you know, how he operated. He wants us to know just what he said to them. And then you see, when you accepted Christ and you became an heir and a joint heir, you became a part of God's promised people. So, like, these were the promised people how it started, but we are the ones that has been engrafted in. So when you read the word of God and talking about him making somebody the promised people, he's speaking to us. Well, all of the word of God is speaking to us. But you see, God is saying to them now, it's my turn to speak. As you have spoken in my ear, God said, you're saying all this junk in my ear, so will I do to you. Now it's time for me to tell you something. You see, he said all of the 20-year-old and older will not be able, who are able to go to war. That's how he decided to do it. Now, I don't know if y'all paid attention when I did the, I think it was in the background, before all of these people over the age of 20 was going to die in the wilderness, God had already destroyed 15,000 of them. And the reason that God counted them coming in, and he wanted them counted going out, because God knew by being omniscient all of the foolishness that was going to do. He knew how they would provoke him, and he knew what consequences he would use. And that in itself should be a witness for us to realize, look and see how many went out. God is not to be played with, but he is. God is slow to anger. Come on. And God is merciful and kind.
Young stuff is toward us.
And that's what I was looking for. Thank you, my sister. And he's long suffering. But he ain't to be played with. You see, he told him, he said, now let me say what I need to say. All of y'all over a certain age ain't going to get there. He said, watch this. He said, you see the little one, the new generation who you swore I was going to just let die out here? They're the ones going to get it. They're going to see the promised land. He said, I'm done with you. Enough is enough. God said you went out and spied, like Sister Elyria said. You spied on the land for 40 days. And watch this, y'all, he tell them. And for each day, you will receive a year to wonder. I guess some of you may have already known that, and if you didn't, that's how they wandered for 40 years. God gave them a year for every day. They went out and came back and brought him that stupid report.
40 days.
So instead of being 3 days.
A year for each day.
A year for each day. That's how I got to be 40. They spied for 40 days and came back with that stupid report.
And wanted 40 years.
And they wanted 40 years. He said, for each day, you did that. That's just what's going to happen. He said, and I guess now they wish they had the problem of facing the Giants. Now, when they were making it up as they go, it was all good. But now God, who is the final say, who has the final say, saying what he would do, they might want to even go face the Giants. You see? And God is still talking to us people. And we still fall short. It's the best way I'll say it. But we have to be committed, because God looks at the heart, the intent, and the attitude. And we just have to remember that. God has everything you need. I wasn't feeling good, and I did not want to cancel the program tonight. But sometime I get, because of what's going on, something get in my throat, and I have to, go and do whatever. And I didn't want to have to leave the studio, and it just was blank. So I called my sister Elaria. And God wants all us just to be ready. You are only being taught that you may teach. And we don't know when God is going to call upon us to do certain things. But we have to be ready. But first, you got to be willing to do something for God, even though he does everything for you. Do the math. And then you got to be able, by studying the word of God and getting yourself ready, to be able. They say you should be always ready. And God will definitely use you if he know that you are willing, able, and ready. I hear people all the time say, I want to be used by God. I want to be used by God. I don't know how much they want to be used. I hear them say it. But you have to be doing, like I say, you got to put in the work so that God can use you. God is not looking over this one and that one. God is choosing what he know, choosing who he know he could get what he needs. And that's all. That's just intelligence. All of us say, I love the Lord with all my heart. Oh, I love the Lord so much. God is so good to me. And we have to ask ourselves, what have we done for him lately? And I don't want you to get into no condemnation, because, that's not what it's about. But we all should stand up for the things of God. Be ready with the things of God. And, we're going to get ready to close. I'm going to let Elaria, you could say whatever you want about the program now, and then I'm going to close it right out.
Okay. I'm going to Philippians 2:13.
You're messing
says,
with me now.
I'm going to Philippians 2.
Philippians
2:13. Yes. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. 14 said, do all things without murmuring and disputing. 15,
that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, amongst whom ye shine as light in the world.
Hallelujah.
In Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have
Hallelujah.
To continue seeking God. Can't do nothing murmuring
yes.
and complaining.
That's right.
And in chapter 3, I'm going to close out with this. Chapter 3:7 says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into rest. Verse 12
Come
says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. 13 says, but exalt one another daily, which is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, and if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end, while it is saying, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. So they all did provoke God. But he's wanting us today to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we were called.
Making our election sure.
That's it.
Making our election sure. That was last week's lesson, now, y'all. But, and I'm going to just throw this in here when we, as I close out. There's some scripture in the Bible. I'm going to try to find it, but I mean, I know I read it. I know it's there, and I know the gist of it's there. You know, sometimes God was so tired with the Israelites. He said, let me just tell you this. I'm going to come, and I'm going to take it to the next level. He said, but it's not because y'all so right, and it's not because y'all doing good. He said, but I made a promise, and I have a time, and it's time for me to show my glory. Come on, y'all. He said, that's why I'm going to do it. It ain't because they got right. And you see, when we look at this whole story, in these scriptures, you know, a journey that would have taken a few days end up taking 40 years due to the disobedience and lack of faith. You might say that the judgment of wandering 40 years in the desert was too harsh, but I want to tell you, not compared to the instant death that God had first threatened them. Come on, y'all. Instead, God allowed the people to live. His punishment was not permanent. In 40 years, a new generation would have the chance to enter the land of Canaan.
Because of unbelief.
Come on now. And how many things that God has allowed to happen in your life, and it would have happened 5 years before it happened, but because of your, wherever you was, it had to be put on hold. Come on now. They entered the promised land, was put on hold for 40 years because of their disobedience.
Disobedience sets you back. You see, here we see that it's not that they got it right, but it was a promise. And God holds on to his promises. He do them. That's
yes,
just
he
like
does.
Last week, I asked you to read the Bible and learn some of the promises, because there are some promises in there for you, but you don't know because you don't read. Even today, many Jews have not accepted Christ as their Savior and look upon him as the Son of the living God. So what you say about that? And that's real. And we didn't get to it in this lesson, but I want you to know that when they got to the edge of the water, which was the Jordan River, God had to make something happen there too. They don't talk about the Jordan as much as they talk about the Red Sea. But God, you know, opened the Jordan River for them to cross over. God is constantly, constantly, constantly. When the Israelites realized their foolish mistake, they were suddenly ready to return to God. But God did not get confused with their admission of guilt. He didn't take that as true repentance. You got to realize when you are guilty, you sometimes, you know, it's just like a husband and wife, and one of them is cheating, and then one of them catch the other one, and they say, yes, I'm going to tell you the truth. You telling the truth because you got caught. But God did not take their admission of guilt as true repentance, because he knew their heart. You know, you got to remember, God always looks at the heart. And sometimes right action or good intentions, sometimes they come too late. Like, you know, they might have a lady, oh, I'm going to help that lady. And the lady died. Good intentions. Just too late. But sometimes right action and good intentions come too late. We must not only do what is right, but also do it at the right time, people. If God said it, you can believe it. So just do it, because it's the right thing to do. And if God says, he makes no mistakes. And that's our program for tonight. And I know many of you have heard Sister Elyria singing over the time, but now you see her bringing the word that she also has the ability to bring the word. So if anyone would like to press the one button and give Minister Elyria Mackey a word of encouragement for her bringing the word, you could press the one button on the phone, and I'll open your mic. If anyone would like to give her words of encouragement, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. Well, Sister Elyria, my mic is already open, and I want to thank God for you for answering the call. And I'll show you how God wanted to see what I was going to do. And I felt a little funny a little bit for a little while in there, but then he brought me all the way through. He brought me all the way through.
Yes,
he's a provider.
Yes, he is. Yes, I love
him. And I thank you. I said after I called and asked you, it wasn't a joke, but it made me laugh. I said, God is allowing Elyria to be my errand, as Aaron was with Moses.
You know, God say, you can't do it. Okay, just go ahead. And I got somebody. And Illyria, you was that person. And I thank God for you. And I thank you for being you. And if anybody else would like to say something tonight, you can press the one button on your phone. If not, I'm going to ask Sister Pam, who's already always ready, always ready. And not only is she ready, she's willing and she's able. Sister Pam, I'm going to ask you to lead us out in prayer. You can say something about the lesson or whatever you want, and you lead us out with prayer, and that's going to end our program tonight. I thank each and every one of you. I love you. I had a great time. I'm feeling like I'm healed by the name, by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You could go ahead.
Thank you, Minister Illyria, for that beautiful song, as always. Such a beautiful voice, and I thank you. Thank you so much for the wonderful lesson, and I got plenty, plenty out of it. Father, we give thanks tonight for life. Thanking you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you, O Lord, for being our Savior, because without you, we are nothing. We thank you for your loving us so much in spite of all of our shortcomings. Lord, we thank you for our sister in Christ, Minister Diane and Minister Illyria. Lord, I thank you tonight for both of them for bringing such a beautiful, beautiful message on tonight. Please, Lord, strengthen Sister Diane's body, which I see you have done already. Heal her body from any illness that may invade it. Lord, I thank you for our Bible study, and I pray that you continue blessing our Bible study, and thank you for every listener near and far, and I'm asking your prayers for each person that's with us each and every Wednesday night. Lord, I thank you. I thank you so much, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise, we give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, and thank God.
Thank you, Sister Pam. And Cecilia, if you want to say one more word before we go off air.
No, ma'am, I'm singing. I am, unless you want me to sing it. Lord, I love you. Yes, I love you. How I love you, Lord. I really love you, oh God, just for who you are and all of your glory. My heart sings, holy, holy, holy God, you are everything we need you to be. You are the great I am. Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord. Yes, I love you. How I love you, Lord. I really love you. I really love you, Lord. I really love you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Cecilia. And that's our program for tonight. And I'm just asking that each and every one of us would take time to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peace be unto you until we meet again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and thank God. Good night.